Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Oh, there are so many lies. You've been taught a lot of them. You've been taught a lot of them in school. What do we do about it? How do we set them straight? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we'll be live on Friday for our next live show. So join us 3 to 7 p.m. on Friday at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. The book is out today officially. We're so excited. Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. The author is Dr. Wilfred Riley, my man. Welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Doing well. Glad to be back on the show.
Well, congratulations. This book has been a long time in coming. It was worth the wait. I've already been diving into it. It's great stuff, and it's so well needed because people's minds have been corrupted. I should also mention you are the author of Hate Crime Hoax, which is one of the also must-read books, I think, of our time. And I'm going to go so far as to say Lies My Liberal Teacher ranks up there as one of the most important books ever because we are being deceptively told a lot of wrong things about this country, about the founding of this country, about historic events in this country. And there's a reason behind it. There's an agenda behind why we're being taught all these mistruths, these lies, literally lies. So here to set it straight, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, get it today. Which lie should we break down first?
Yeah, so first, thanks for having me on. The book, there was a delay with the publisher, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. We've talked about it on the show and gone back and forth a few times, but is released on Amazon as of late last week. So if you guys in the Scioli Army and those of you that are fans of me, I suppose, want to go out there and get that, that's on Amazon, that's on Goodreads, all that kind of thing. And the book, it's a follow-up to my two previous books, Hate Crime Hoax and Taboo, both of which looked at kind of trends going on in society and asked, is this true? So, I mean, with hoax, I took a look at all these claims of extreme racial conflict and violence, Jussie Smollett, Covington Catholic, so on. And what I found is that a huge chunk of them, I mean, in my primary data set, about 75% of them never happened or were presented as something very different from what they were. So you get into all these questions about why are we incentivizing victimization? Why are we making this stuff up to some extent? But lies my liberal teacher told me, I mean, the opening lie in the book is actually that there was something unique about slavery in the West. But, I mean, I go from there through a whole bunch of things, like hippies were the good guys, the sexual revolution was great for women, we couldn't have won the Vietnam War. Just, I basically think that a kind of anti-American malaise has crept into what we're telling people, especially telling kids over the past 40 or 50 years, and I don't think that's accidental. And so I point out that a lot of this stuff you're hearing that's presented as kind of revolutionary and edgy, you know, there are an endless number of genders, which is touched on in the book. It's, in fact, the mainstream perspective in society. Like, pride parades are sponsored by Halliburton and Deloitte and Touch and so on. And I'm critiquing it. I'm saying a lot of this is nonsense. Like, parents should be really wary of a lot of this.
I agree with you, by the way, and I think your anti-American sentiment is exactly what's driving it. Not yours, but I'm saying that idea in school of the anti-American sentiment. Let's paint America as a country that sucks, it's racist, it's built on racism, it's built on a patriarchy and structural normative, heteronormative, whatever nonsense, whatever term it's thrown out in a faculty lounge today. There is a reason for it. They are driving that agenda.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not even sure what some of these words mean. Like, it would be very awkward to have this conversation in a faculty lounge, but like, patriarchy, for example, or white supremacist society, like just talking to a smart, normal person, like a patriarchy is a society where men control the reproductive abilities of women, like stop women from having sex, you have to get married for anything to occur. The United States is almost the opposite of that. I mean, you know, as of 1964, it's illegal to formally treat men and women differently. And I mean, like I said, I talk about the sexual revolution in the book, like was the availability of widespread birth control and no-fault divorce, the hookup apps like Tinder. I mean, the average person's had, you know, X number of partners by this point. Was that good for women? So to call us like a patriarchal society where we never hear about women's perspective and men are praised all the time, I mean, that doesn't actually make a whole lot of sense. But yeah, this narrative is extremely common. And one of the things that I try to do in the book is talk about where it comes from. Because in American media and academia, there's an incredible concentration of kind of one political perspective. So, I mean, back in 2004, Pew Research looked at the political views of journalists, and they found that only about 7% of national media journalists lean to the right. That includes libertarians and, you know, everybody else. The other 93% were leftist, liberals, or left-leaning moderates. They found that again in 2011. It's actually worse in academia. And I talk about how that pipeline of people from kind of the radical sector to the group of people teaching our kids happened. It wasn't unintentional. It really started back in the 60s.
And why?
Well, I mean, this is actually one of those things that gets almost into philosophy. So, like, in the book, I talk about whether ultimate morality exists at all. I talk about some of the conversations that we've had. No, but we should assume it does. But, I mean, like, I talk about some of the conversations that we've had on this show, talking about the importance of religion. But this is pretty close to that. So the United States is a free country, which has advantages and disadvantages. And one of the disadvantages is that we have kind of a political, what would you call it, an opposition in the USA that's allowed to speak openly. Like, most of the other great countries, China, Arabia, even Russia, don't really have that. So in the United States, I mean, for Chapter 2, for example, makes the point that the Red Scare wasn't a scare. We actually were at the brink of nuclear war with Russia, and the Russians, because many of them were English-speaking Caucasians, had a huge number of spies over here. So there actually was an apparatus in the USA that basically sided with the other side of this. I mean, you had the American Communist Party, you had a large number of communists in Hollywood, New York, so on down the line. And that very small core grew into a much larger radical movement in the USA. I mean, in the 1960s, you had SDS, Students for a Democratic Society, you had the Weathermen, their violent wing. Over in the black community, we had the Panthers. I mean, Move On, all these militants. And this sort of general broader ideology, like critical theory, Richard Delgado was a former Chicano militant, all this crap became sort of the soundtrack of middle to upper middle class life. And it's remained so today because no one can be a terrorist their entire life. like people you wouldn't believe, like Bill Ayers, who is one of the leaders of the Weathermen, moved on into just mainstream society. He teaches at, I think, the University of Chicago right now. I've met him in Chicago. And so these same ideas, like critical theory, feminist theory, queer theory, you might think of it as just a bunch of highbrow academic nonsense, but this is what's being taught to the people that teach, if that makes sense. That's what's taught in the schools of education, history, English. So the question is, the society is like, what do you do? How do you get rid of that? But we are a free enough country that we can have a movement in society that hates society. And every time I've tried to explain that to a Russian or a Nigerian or a Chinese, it's kind of weird. The reaction is sort of like, why don't you just kill him? Well, he can't. I mean, that's it. That's the conversation.
In 1995, James Lowen penned the classic work of criticism, Lies My Teacher Told Me, a left-leaning corrective that addressed much of what was sanitized and omitted from American history books. But in the decades that followed, false leftist narratives, as wrong as those they supplanted, have come to dominate American academia and education. Now, in Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, Wilfred Riley demolishes the scholastic myths propagated by the left, uncovers fresh angles on established events, established in quotes, and turns what we think we know about history upside down. And the book is available right now at Amazon.com. Great price, by the way, $24 for a hardcover, $15 for Kindle. Definitely get it. I'm glad you bring up, at least according to one critics' ratings, right? I mean, you got some great people endorsing this book, like myself and Ben Shapiro, Chris Rufo. But you have at least one idiot on Amazon who wrote pretty much just right-wing propaganda. And so I would say that's the best endorsement you can get right there from a guy like this who probably hasn't even taken the time to read it. But he writes one thing. He says, the author tries to make the claim that teachers teach the three-fifths compromise as the founders counting slaves as three-fifths a person. The three-fifths compromise, I think, is one of those great examples here, which, again, the left twists the purpose of that to say America never viewed people, black people, as people.
Yeah.
And they leave out the part that it was the abolitionists who were driving that because they didn't want the southern states to have more people, more representatives in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, now, and by the way, I kept finding this because there are directions in which people try to push the curriculum. And one of them right now is white's bad. So pretty much every time I looked at a historical story, it didn't always paint whites in a good light. I mean, we were nearly at the point of race war in the USA for many years, whites, natives, blacks. But almost every spin in the story, if this makes sense, moved kind of whites, Western descent people, toward looking worse than they did. Like, getting to the point, two of the four people that killed Emmett Till were black. I didn't know that. I think almost no one knows that. It's a group of four guys. Obviously, racism played a role, but so did that Southern honor culture down there. Don't talk to my wife. That's been almost omitted from that story. Tuskegee experiment, a bunch of poor black sharecroppers given syphilis, or at least the disease was allowed to proceed. One of the things that's omitted from that narrative is that Tuskegee is a top 100 black college. I've been there for a football game. So everyone's capable of evil. Many of these stories don't break down to white versus black in the way that we think they do. The three-fifths compromise is another good example of this. So you summed that up really well. The three-fifths compromise is the anti-slavery position. The three-fifths compromise wasn't that black people, certainly not that minorities, there was no concept of Hispanics or half Indians or anything like that at the time. Those people had just been counted as Caucasian. It wasn't that people of color counted as three-fifths of a person. It was that slaves did. The reason that the anti-slavery people wanted slaves to count originally as no-fifths of a person is that people count towards your representation in Congress as a state or a region of the United States. So if you allow slave masters and slave traders to count defeated warriors sitting in barns, you know, shucking tobacco as citizens of their state, then states like Georgia would have been part of the colonies at that time. South Carolina, I believe, was either in the mix or was added very soon. Those states would have had far more population for purposes of representation than larger northern states. So it was acknowledged for 100+ years that this was the anti-slavery Yankee position. And when radicalism became more profitable, became more useful, that's when you saw a move away from that toward the idea that this is the pro-slavery, anti-black position. No, that's completely crazy.
It's completely crazy. And yet even last week, I had somebody tweet me and say, how can you say there's not systemic racism when we were only viewed as three-fifths of a person at the founding of this country. So, again, it's taught that way to push the narrative that we are built on racism. And if you can convince people of that, well, then the very people that built this country, the founders, the people that founded it, and the documents that they wrote, all need to be thrown out. Because how can you accept those documents? And that's what I think, my personal opinion, Dr. Wolf Riley, is that that's the ultimate goal here, is to get them to destroy the Constitution, because those are the guardrails that preserve the republic, the constitutional republic that we have. And then you could have your free, crazy reign on democracy, and you could do whatever the hell you want, because there's no way to guard against factions as the Constitution was created to do. And I personally think that that's kind of the secret hidden agenda of all of this. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I will find out when I finish reading the book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. But I certainly think that's their master plan. I'm sorry, can't say master, but their ultimate plan.
their larger bedroom plan.
We can't say larger. I think that's fat shaming. I don't know. I'm not sure.
There's a lot of issues here. But no, that I think is essentially correct. Like, one of the things that has to be understood about these beliefs is that they are instrumental beliefs. So James Lindsay, like, beliefs in service of a cause. So James Lindsay has said quite a few times that the issue itself doesn't matter. The issue is always the revolution. And I think when you're talking about a fanatic on the left, or for that matter, we've got a few on the right, that's pretty much correct. And that's why when you look at the solutions that are provided in response to climate change, like we need a more socialist government, reduction in the size of the military, transfer of power to indigenous people, they're the same solutions that are proposed in response to historic racism. Many of them are the same solutions that were proposed in response to COVID. The goal is getting the state to do certain things that benefit the revolutionaries. I don't know whether or not they think those things would actually improve society. I don't know whether or not they care. I mean, to a certain extent, I'm an adult male. I view them as enemies of mine. I don't really care. But the idea isn't just, well, this stuff may be true in an abstract intellectual sense, and that's a very important point. Yeah, if the Constitution was written by slave masters, and if you're conventionally moral, and thank God I'm not, but if you are, then one obvious response is, well, we should get rid of the Constitution, and we should let the people that are currently in charge draw up something different. And I think at some level we all understand what AOC and Jasmine Crockett and Ayanna Pressley and Ilhan Omar, I mean, Rashida Tlaib, I mean, these are the major figures among the rising young Democrats, would do in that situation. And I also think hopefully there's enough pragmatic amorality to save most people. I think we also understand that would be very bad for almost everyone. But that is the deal that's being proposed. This country was built on genocide. This country was built on slavery. And so we need to eliminate the roots of this country and let us beautiful, wealthy, young people of color reshape it. And hopefully there are enough non-suicidal people that that won't happen.
I hope so. I hope you're right. I mean, I am. But I think we need to have these books out there like yours, like Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, because we have to set the narrative right, because nobody wants to be accused of racism or defending a position that is viewed as racist. I mean, there have been people who have explained the three-fifths compromise exactly the way you have, which is the correct historical account, and have faced almost getting fired for it, like the president of Hillsdale College, or getting canceled over it. And that's the other part of this, too, which is that when people attempt to try to set the record straight, to say, you know what, the United States actually is not that bad of a place. We're actually pretty good, and we've done a lot of great things over the years. We had to defeat the Nazis, for example. That people immediately jump up and say, shut up and sit down, or we're going to cancel you. You're defending slavery. You're defending the killing of Indians, the genocide of Native Americans, or something like that.
Yeah, this is a problem. Another thing I noted in the book is that there wasn't any genocide of Native Americans. I mean, I talked pretty sincerely for about a page and a half about the atrocities that both whites and natives committed against each other. I mentioned there have been several apologies on both sides. That's good. You know, fighting men shouldn't treat each other like jackals. But the idea of an overall genocide, like an intentional plan to wipe out the natives by people that understood modern disease theory or something in 1700, that didn't really occur. Like, there are far more Native Americans alive today in North America than there were when Columbus landed, most likely. And that's another thing that we've seen misrepresented to an extraordinary degree, by the way. High school and collegiate textbooks will often say that there were 10 to 20 million, the term would be Native North Americans. I was interested enough in that because we're talking about, like, stone and copper age hunters. I was interested enough in that, but I actually went into the anthropology literature and looked it up. The actual figure is like a million, million and a half. Hmm. So the native population has not been exterminated. The great tribes like the Iroquois, Comanche, so on, all exist today. They have sizable reservations and negotiate with the government. But beyond that, the thing that killed most of the natives wasn't bullets from the white man. The natives were pretty impressive fighters themselves. It was disease. And no one at the time understood disease. Like, the first books about the spread of disease, like plagues and peoples, didn't come out until 1970. So the idea that when white settlers moved into an area, 95% of the natives were going to die, no one understood that. People were just encountering what seemed to be almost virgin wilderness, and they were taking it over. And then at the fringes, they would encounter Native American Indians, and there'd be some fighting. But the idea that there had been native towns where they were living, but, you know, smallpox and so on, it just wiped those people out. No one knew that. That wasn't intentional. The blankets thing was like one incident involving a British officer. So, no, I don't think we genocided the Indians. I hate to put it this way, but there are plenty of Indians today. And I think, again, almost everything in history is at some level misrepresented. But the point about why don't people say this because they're afraid of getting canceled, yeah, that's true. And it's a weird phenomenon because the things that we're describing, like, for example, there are many Native Americans alive today. They're solid contributors to the country, group most likely to fight in the military, or the Three-Fifths Compromise with anti-slavery. They're not debatable things. They're just factually provable. This is the same thing as some women have penises. I mean, the strategy is basically just to shout everyone down until the party line becomes accepted. I don't think that's going to work much longer.
I hope not. I really hope not, because I'm tired of it. You know, and I think one of the strategies they do to try to get it to perpetuate that is to say, well, for example, in New Jersey, to take the state where I live, if a school district kid comes in, you know, my daughter comes in and says, I'm a boy, the school district is not allowed to tell me. Certain districts now are, and good for them, are passing policies to deliberately say, no, we are going to tell the parents. This is not a mandate from the state. This is just a suggestion. We are going to let the parents know, because as a parent, I want to know. I think I have a right to know, because I believe it's mental illness and I want to do something to help my daughter as soon as possible and have intervention as quickly as possible to get her back, to get her away from this. But if you're trying to perpetuate a narrative, which is that this is just normal, that a girl can be a boy or a boy can be a girl, and that's normal. You can't allow competing ideas. You can't allow debate. You have to shut that down right away and say, no, this is the way it is. And if you come in and you suggest this might be mental illness, you're a bigot. We need to seriously think about taking your children away from you. I mean, that's how scary it's getting in a lot of places.
Yeah, the comparison would kind of be to religious orthodoxy. Like the established Orthodox Church doesn't allow simpler Protestant Bibles and doesn't allow many readings of science and so on down the line, because those things in, you know, 18th century Russia or whatever challenge your social monopoly. If you have ideas, you follow a particular line of religious belief and you don't want any other religions around or modern scientific ideas around, you're going to have to censor speech to a pretty significant degree to make that happen. So, yeah, I think we're seeing a lot of those same strategies with woke people, actually, to an even greater degree, targeting kids, for example. If your ideas are inherently illogical, the best time to expose people to them is when they're very young, because young people will believe any stupid thing. I'm a fairy. So if you explain to them at age 5 or 6 that some people are just fairies, a lot of people are going to grow up believing that. Morality is what your mother told you before you were 6. So I think that the basic point about this being difficult is correct. The basic point about it being discouraged is correct. I also think that a lot of people have realized that we're kind of no longer playing around, though. To me, one of the things about sort of bashing whites or men or American society that made it appealing in the 1960s was that no one took it very seriously. So it was something you could use as a virtue signal. You could say, well, of course, this is a terrible country during that patriotic NASA era. Or, of course, we white men have committed many atrocities when the USA was 89% white. Now, today, I think we're starting to realize a lot of people do believe this. Like, there are a lot of people who might not be that bright at baseline that really do believe that black slavery produced all the wealth in the country. That's another thing I talk about in the book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. But that leads into, again, instrumentally, like the reparations idea. Like, so we need to give African Americans $5 million apiece. And I think a lot of people, white, black, and Hispanic, are looking at that when they hear that and saying, no, I'm not going to be taxed for that. We all know at some level that's not true. And that's going to lead to more people expressing kind of the actual reality, I would hope.
Yeah, and I think that's good. I agree. I mean, I think that there's a pushback going on. Dr. Wilfred Riley's with me. His book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, is out. It's available. Go to Amazon.com. Get a copy of it. Educate yourself and realize that we're not crazy. We might be crazy, but at least we're right. Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, Amazon.com right now, and wherever books are sold. The other thing, too, which is fascinating, is I was thinking about this in terms of what we don't teach our kids. Like, for me, I think D-Day is something that should be taught to every school kid. I think high school kids should have to watch Saving Private Ryan or Band of Brothers or something. I mean, it's such a consequential day in terms of defeating the Nazis. And I was amazed. I just kind of did a quick survey of some of my friends about, hey, did your kids learn about D-Day in school today? And the answer was no, almost across the board. Because, again, that's America did that. Like, we did that, and we turned the tide of the war and then would go on to liberate Europe. That's a tremendous accomplishment for a country to do that's pretty rooted in evil. One of the things that and I'm using that obviously sarcastically, and one of the other things, too, which I'm amazed about in your book, is that the Vietnam War is something that is really not also taught correctly. And I'm glad that the Vietnam veterans are finally given the respect that they should be entitled to, because, look, they didn't ask to go, many of them. There was a draft, number one. But number two, how they were treated when they came back was terrible, but in a lot of cases. But also, too, again, this has been one of those things that's been used to manipulate. But I never thought how they could or why, what the motivation would be behind that.
Yeah, well, chapter four of the book goes into the 1960s, which we've made into kind of this gilded era of American history, like the 60s, the movement. And I look at a lot of this, and one of the things I say is that other than basic black civil rights, that kind of thing, but a lot of the stuff that came out of the 60s was deeply negative. The anti-nuke and eco-freako movements, which in my opinion have killed hundreds of thousands of people.
Yes.
Black radicalism, the kind of the movement for cowardice, like the anti-draft movement became the anti-war movement, the peace movement, like all of that stuff. I guess you have the white radicals too, the Weathermen, the hippies, the sex revolution, drug revolution. I mean, a lot of that was an extraordinary imposition on society. Like, it was our version of the Cultural Revolution. And it's often taught as though it was just wonderful. Like, you see these people, pictures of couples making out in the mud at Woodstock and so on. But, like, virtually everything that we measure that's negative, rates of crime, rates of STIs, so on, took off during the 1960s and 70s, racial tension, and never really stopped. Didn't start going down again until, you know, Rudy Giuliani and Mayor Daley Jr. in the 1990s, 2000s. So that's something I talk about. But Vietnam was definitely part of that. The Vietnam War was not especially unpopular, just giving very brief points. It was as popular as Gulf War II for most of the time that it went on. A large number of people served voluntarily. Two-thirds of the troops were not drafted. They voluntarily signed up. Those were the better troops. The home front peace movement in the USA is one of the major reasons that we lost the Vietnam War. And one of the craziest things to me reading the academic literature here was that was recognized by the Vietnamese side. People like Ho Chi Minh would regularly praise the U.S. left. So the way that conflict is taught today, it was unwinnable, it was unpopular. Again, you know, the good guys with the long hair were correct. No, we probably could have won the war. The good guys with the long hair screwed us up. And that was an extremely bad move politically and socially, because it led to the fall of Saigon. Again, you're talking about real history that we've forgotten. Like our allies and their wives trying to climb to the top of skyscrapers so that helicopters could evacuate them. That was one of the few times in modern history that a city was sacked. Like more than half of it was burned by an invading army. You know, the killing fields in Cambodia were a result of this. Like the conflict and especially our defeat caused so much chaos in that country that Pol Pot rose to power and killed 4 million people. The killing fields, he simply took every educated person in the country and drove them out into the rice paddies to try to make true perfect communism. They all died. So this is a real problem. It goes very deep. Last line about this, by the way, I would agree not only that there's a mistelling of this history, but also that we tend to avoid the kind of glorious history that you're describing, which would include not just D-Day, but also the Union victory in the Civil War, building the railroad across the country. That's now considered bad because some Indians were killed.
And the Chinese had to build it, right?
Okay.
And some and Chinese immigrants had to build it, and like they were forced to build it. Like that's one of those other things they say about the rail system.
Well, not actually, even that's not a negative story. There were two crews. There was a Chinese crew and there was an Irish and Italian crew, and they were competing with like four men from the crews betting each other to build these railroads across the country. It's like this great guy story that's never told, partly because it is an all-male story, partly because it involves racial competition, partly because, I mean, both crews were exchanged shots with Indian warriors who were not that thrilled with them doing this. But those kind of things, I mean, I certainly think you clean them up a little bit for an audience of fourth graders, but those are the stories we should be telling, not like this sort of endless sadness. So one time in this town, a black man was hanged 120 years ago. You don't ignore that, but that's not what made America at some level.
And the other thing, too, so I agree with you. Celebrate the great successes. I agree 100% because, I mean, the rail system is a remarkable achievement. D-Day, celebrate these great successes, the Union victory in the Civil War. Absolutely. All these things, of course, now get in the way, though, of teaching that America is a bad place. So here's my question to you. With June 19th, 2 days away, with Juneteenth about to be a day that for some reason my daughter's preschool is closed in observance. I really don't know why, but I think they just wanted a day off. But with this now national holiday upon us now, how is that going to be used by the left, you think, to twist American history that America sucks?
No, the interesting thing about Juneteenth is that it could have been what I just described. It could have been Union Victory Day,
right,
where, you know, you celebrate the victorious Union. You mention briefly that the Confederates actually fought pretty well. You celebrate the freed slaves. You go on and say, we won the Civil War. We're one country again. The decision with Juneteenth was to focus entirely on kind of slavery and the ending of slavery, which is very important. I wouldn't even object to that, I guess, except for context. So, I mean, the holiday was declared, as I understand, during kind of the peak of the backlash to George Floyd. And I think that caused a lot of tension and irritation with people sort of saying, well, I know what this is. And the idea, and so far that's pretty much been what I've seen in curricula and so on, is that this, again, is going to become another day to criticize America. We had slaves. Let's talk about the contributions of slavery, so on. I guess my point here is I don't really have a problem with Juneteenth at all if the focus of the holiday is on the reason we celebrate this day is that we let the slaves go, like our integrated army freed them. And it takes a lot of effort to move away from that as the message, but so far that's what we've seen.
I know, and that's what makes me nervous, because it could be a great opportunity to celebrate America. It's something we should be very proud of, but it can also be used as a way to make everybody be reminded that America is so awful. You should have such guilt. There's nothing to celebrate here because we had slavery as if we were the only country that ever did. And we don't look at the fact that we ended it or that we created a constitutional republic with a constitution that was designed, in the words of the guy who wrote it, to see slavery's ending, and something that Frederick Douglass would go on to recognize as well, and Lincoln would certainly recognize, but that we just, there's no hope for us because we had slavery in 1776 and then ultimately in the 1780s. There's no hope for America, period.
Yeah, and I mean, that actually, one of the reasons that I do, the first setup chapter of the book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, is just a discussion of slavery historically. And I mean, I don't know if it's one of the more entertaining chapters in terms of, you know, quips and modern historical stories and stories like the Chinese versus the Irish rail gangs and all that. But it is an important piece of background because most of the sins of the Western world weren't unique. They were the problems that everyone in the world had. If problems you even call them, like that requires modern morality. But they were the things that everyone in the world did until the very, very recent era. What separates the West, actually, is that we came up with, through Christianity, democracy, so on, solutions to a lot of these issues. But, like, the first chapter deals with slavery. Human slavery, often racial, often lifelong, goes back to kind of the dawn of man. So, I mean, I talk about slavery in Babylon, which obviously existed. I mean, the Jews had the Babylonian captivity. It's described in the Bible. Slavery in ancient Greece. Aristotle wrote manuals about how to keep and feed slaves. In addition to his philosophical writing, he was a slave master. Roman slavery, which is much worse than anything in modern America. I mean, if you were captured by the Romans, you would literally be thrown into a gladiatorial arena and made to fight against tigers and hippopotamuses and so on. And I go into the modern era, the Arab slave trade in blacks, the Arab slave trade in whites, the black slave trade in whites, the white slave trade in blacks. So the idea that America is defined by having had slavery is true only if you isolate out America from every other country in the world. And there's no non-political reason to do that. The only reason to do that is that you don't much like America.
Yep, that's exactly right. All right, you got to read the book. Got to read the book. I don't want to give any more away. Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. Go to Amazon.com right now and get a copy of it. Dr. Wilfred Riley, best of luck with the book. We'll get you on again very, very soon to help promote it. I think this is one of the most important books. Certainly, I think it's the most important book for anyone who loves history and loves this country and wants to have the record set straight. And anyone who just likes truth, because truth is very important for its own sake. Dr. Wilfred Riley, best of luck. Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. We'll talk again soon, my friend.
Thank you. Have a good one.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Okay, so a couple things, by the way. I need to let you know that Karine Jean-Pierre is now claiming that the videos of Biden wandering off stage and needing to be led off stage by Barack Obama, that they are deepfakes. There is no one suggesting that these videos are being manipulated whatsoever. The White House is now publicly lying. The White House press secretary slash fembot, Karine Jean-Pierre, is engaging in propaganda, state propaganda, paid for by your taxpayer dollars, falsely claiming that these videos are being manipulated. And they are not. Just so you know, for the record. All right, listen, thank you to the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, for sponsoring our happy hour. Please join us on Friday, June 21st, for our next live show at the Grand Hotel. It's going to be a lot of fun. It is New Jersey's full-service resort, conference center, and top beach destination wedding venue. And we'd love to see you on Friday for our live show. Now, listen, if you've been by Cherry Hill Volvo recently, you may have noticed the dealership renovation. You certainly have noticed the road construction. Once you get past that, you're going to find the dealership is still as comfortable and welcoming as ever, even in trailers. And I can tell you that firsthand because recently I picked up my new XC60 and it was a great experience. It's amazing. Business is great at Cherry Hill Volvo, despite the renovation and the road construction. And right now is a great time to visit Cherry Hill Volvo because on top of amazingly competitive prices, Costco members will get an additional $1,000 off. That's right. Relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo, and they always strive to do what is right. They work hard to match you with the perfect Volvo, and they always go the extra mile for their customers. So please go see them today. They're the only Volvo dealership that is the Talk Radio 1210 WPHT studio sponsor. Cherry Hill Volvo, that's them. And because of the renovation, Judith is doubling down on their aggressive promotions and incentives, and you get the extra $1,000 off if you're a Costco member. Never been a better time to get there. And I got to tell you, this weekend we went down to see my buddy and my friend Rick and his wife Sharon, and we had the XC90, the third row for the kids to get them safe and sound, plenty of cargo room. What a great way to travel. So much better than a minivan. It really is the family car. So go see Cherry Hill Volvo today on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Matter.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Parents will not have the right to know, because as a parent, if you're not an idiot, you'd want to immediately address the fact that your child is doing this and immediately have them evaluated for mental illness and then do something to save your child before it's too late. But that goes against the narrative that this is just real and you can't question it. So that's it. A boy can be a girl and a girl can be a boy, and that's it. And you can't disagree with that. So we're not even going to let you know about it as parents. So we're going to hide that truth from you. And what if it's mental illness, drug use, addiction? The kid is just doing this for publicity purpose, you know, for attention, but there's a deeper problem here. But this is, the left will not allow parents to be involved in their kids' lives because they want the state, they want government to do it. They believe government, it should only be government. So that just happened. The other thing that happened, too, is that the Biden administration has unsealed the indictment against Dr. Ethan Haim, who blew the whistle on the child sex change program at Texas Children's Hospital. He's now facing up to 10 years in prison. 10 years in prison. It's a 4-count indictment against this whistleblower. Basically, he alleges here that he obtained information under false pretenses and with intent to cause malicious harm to this medical system. It's a 4-count indictment where he obtained personal information about the Texas Children's Hospital. And this is another way to intimidate and scare people and silence people. The Biden administration has unsealed the indictment against Dr. Ethan Haim, who blew the whistle on the child sex change program at Texas Children's Hospital. He's now facing up to 10 years in prison. Ethan Haim. Now, you've probably heard about this doctor before. We've talked about him on the show. So that just happened a few hours ago. A lot going on, a lot of breaking news. But let's see, Jim's in Philadelphia. Jim, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Great. So what can I do for you?
Yes, Mr. Riley.
Also, can you turn down the radio in the background for me, please?
My radio?
Whatever you have on in the background, it sounds like you're listening to the interview with Dr. Riley, perhaps.
No, is it okay now?
Yes, it's better. Go ahead. Thank
you. Okay. Yeah, I came in the middle of his conversation, but some of the things he said I don't think are quite accurate.
Such as what?
The Constitutional Convention was not, all the representatives were not slaveholders.
He didn't say that they were.
Well, the way he represented it, he indicated that, and he didn't qualify it as saying that there were non-slaveholders in there, too, mostly from the North. And also, he failed to mention the response to what was going on at the Constitutional Convention. The Continental Congress, run by the president of the Congress, Arthur St. Clair, and they...
I'll tell you what, why don't you go back and listen to the whole interview? How about that? All right?
Pardon?
Why don't you go back and listen to the full interview? How about you just hit... Are you listening on the app or are you listening on the radio?
Okay. Well, I'll have to see when exactly it started.
It started at 5 o'clock, so you can just rewind to 5 o'clock, and then you can listen to the whole interview. All right?
Okay.
Okay,
I'll listen
good.
To it. Thank you.
You're welcome, Jim. No problem. Thank you very much. And we can see if you maybe misheard something, or I'm not quite sure what. But all right, 855-839-1210 if you want to weigh in. Now, the other thing is a couple of other points I got to make, too, and it's that's this, also something that just broke this afternoon as well. Apparently now, and I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently Chinese cyber police are running an online network helping illegal immigrants flood into the U.S. Now, it's from the Daily Caller News Foundation. They're very reputable and credible, so I have a tendency to believe them. I'm not seeing this on the corporate media, so that makes it probably true. A private social network run by a self-identified Chinese government agent provides illegal immigrants with resources to get into the U.S. and evade border authorities, according to a Daily Caller News Foundation investigation. The American Self-Guided Tour Channel is a Chinese language group with over 8,000 members on the encrypted instant messaging platform Telegram that serves as both a forum for discussing Chinese illegal immigration and a hub for documents detailing specific routes to the United States. Documents in the Telegram channel, translated by the Daily Caller News Foundation, identify U.S. border wall gaps, instruct Chinese nationals on how to answer questions from Border Patrol agents, and provide scripts for requesting asylum. They give them actual scripts and what to say. Furthermore, the channel is overseen by an individual who spreads Chinese Communist Party propaganda, bans accounts who fail to toe the party line, and identifies himself as a Chinese police officer. North Carolina Republican Representative Dan Bishop said, "We're allowing an element that is completely beyond our law to be established firmly as a beachhead in the United States of America, and the people of America are going to pay a severe price." Customs and Border Protection data shows that the overwhelming majority of the roughly 48,000 Chinese illegal immigrants encountered by U.S. authorities in 2024 have been single adults. And experts warn that military age males make up the lion's share. They describe the 1,100% spike in Chinese illegal immigrants since fiscal year 2022 as historically unprecedented, and told the Daily Caller News Foundation that the inner workings of China's human smuggling networks have largely remained a mystery to lawmakers up until now. The Daily Caller News Foundation discovered the American Self-Guided Tour channel and several related Telegram groups facilitating Chinese illegal immigration after analyzing a Chinese illegal immigrant's abandoned cell phone, which was found near the California-Mexico border by a San Diego man in January of 2024. Telegram did not respond to multiple requests for comment. Through a months-long review of the American Self-Guided Tour channel, Daily Caller discovered that the group contains documents instructing Chinese nationals on how to navigate the U.S. immigration system, scripts for claiming asylum, and answering questions from Border Patrol agents. One document translated advises those wishing to apply for a green card in the U.S. to be sure to prepare a story about your prosecution in advance. Another document provides responses to questions Border Patrol agents may ask in order to establish whether or not an asylum seeker has a credible fear of persecution from their home country. Quote, "Even if moving would be inconvenient, can you live safely elsewhere in this country or in that country?" reads one of the hypothetical questions. "No, because the situation I'm facing is nationwide. Even if I move to another place, I'll be under threat just as before." Another template provides ideas on how to craft asylum claims based on political, religious, racial, sexual, and even gender persecution, despite women comprising only a small fraction of Chinese illegal immigrants. Here's one particular script. I am blank. And then you list your hometown. I was born on whatever day because I suffered gender-based violence and discrimination in my motherland. I am seeking asylum in America. My family forced me to marry. They wanted me to marry a man much older than me. When I refused, they beat me and threatened me, saying that if I didn't obey, they'd kill me. After marrying, my husband started physically and mentally abusing me. I was forced to leave my home and live in hiding. I tried seeking help from the local government, but they're either corrupt or unwilling to help me. If I am forced to return to China, I fear for my life. There I will face more violence and discrimination. Now, obviously, you got to question how somebody in a situation like that is able to escape China to get to the United States of America. Documents stored on the channel indicate a relatively sophisticated understanding of the U.S. immigration system, with some featuring intricate flowcharts to map out various potential U.S. immigration pathways. One such flowchart suggests that as a last resort, those who've received a deportation order but lack a passport to return to their countries may consider starting the immigration process over with a false identity. You can try alternate identities, but the difficulty is relatively high, and Trump may invite you to a meeting with state security agents in the future. This I want to play for you a little clip here. This is, let's see now. Let's see here. Okay. I'm going to play this for you. Let's see if I can go this. Sorry. Here we go. Yeah, all right. Here we go. I said this to you just now, Andrew. Are you able to load that clip for me? This is KJP. All right. This is Karine Jean-Pierre now claiming that the videos you see on social media of Biden freezing or Biden looking clueless or Biden just aimlessly walking away, that these videos are manipulated. Now, there's been zero evidence, zero, and she puts forward no evidence that they're manipulated. They might be misinterpreted, but they're certainly not being manipulated. I don't believe they're being misinterpreted because I have eyes and I can see. But nevertheless, she's claiming that these are fugazis, purposely fugazis, that they are purposely manipulating. All right? Take a listen.
There seems to be a sort of rash of videos that have been edited to make the president appear especially frail or mentally confused. I'm wondering if the White House is especially worried about the fact that this appears to be a pattern that we're seeing more of.
Yeah, and I think you all have called this the cheap fakes video, and that's exactly what they are. They are cheap fakes video. They are done in bad faith, and some of your news organization have been very clear, have stressed that these right wing critics of the president have a credibility problem because of the fact checkers have repeatedly caught them pushing misinformation, disinformation, and so we see this, and this is something coming from your part of the world, calling them cheap fakes and misinformation. And I'll quote the Washington Post, where they wrote about this, and they said how Republicans use misleading videos to attack Biden in a 24-hour period. And to their credit, we have a conservative Washington Examiner did call them out as well, calling out the New York Post. Ironically, several recent cheap fakes actually attack the president for thanking troops. For thanking troops, that is what they're attacking the president for. Both in Normandy this happened, and again in Italy. And I think that it tells you everything that we need to know about how desperate Republicans are here. Instead of talking about the president's performance in office, and what I mean by that is his legislative wins, what he's been able to do for the American people across the country, we're seeing these deep fakes. These manipulated videos. And it is, again, done in bad faith.
So that's a lie. That's a blatant lie from the White House press secretary. It's a blatant lie from the Fembot. That's a lie. They are not deep fakes. They are not manipulated. That's not true. Now, you may say that you're interpreting them wrong. Okay, that's an argument. You can have that debate. But what you can't do is lie and say and accuse them of doing something to these videos to doctor them, manipulate them, or anything like that. Because that's not the case. By the way, that's the big story of the day today. It's brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. But that's a lie. It's a lie to say that they are being manipulated, that they're deep fakes or anything like that. So just so you know, it's more BS spin from this administration. All right, coming up, Trump is coming to do a rally in Philadelphia on Saturday. We'll talk to the campaign about that. Plus, there's another story. It's breaking news, and it's a very, very big deal, I think, is that we have right now, in this exact moment of time, we have a poll out that shows Donald Trump is doing extremely well with black voters. So how are they responding to that? They're creating new debate rules to try to get Trump to bail out of the debate. Except here's what happened. Even though the debate rules, in my opinion, clearly favor Biden, Trump's campaign accepted the debate rules. So now the debate is set. Well, a couple sources have come forward in the last couple hours to say now suddenly the Biden campaign is trying to back out of the debate next week. So will it happen? Will the debate happen? That's the question. But as of right now, the candidates have agreed to the debate rules. So that's where we are. And now the other thing is that a federal court has granted Biden's Department of Justice their request to move the $30 million Ashley Babbitt wrongful death lawsuit from her home in San Diego to Washington, D.C. The case was just assigned to Judge Gia Cobb, who was appointed to the bench by President Biden in 2021. Because you all know Ashley Babbitt is the woman who was shot by a Capitol Police officer on January the 6th. So that just happened a few moments ago as well. A lot of big breaking news going on, as you can imagine. All right, listen, the reason why my family chose and chooses over and over again Dr. Mike Veneria is that he's the best. We all go to see Dr. Veneria because the level of care and commitment to dental excellence that Dr. Mike and his staff delivers to every patient is unmatched. He's been delivering results that surpass expectations, and that has made him a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. He has one of the most respected reputations among his peers as a master of dental implants. So, if you've been on the fence about getting that dental procedure done, reach out to Dr. Mike today. You have a choice, a clear choice for you and your family. So give Dr. Veneria a call. I promise you won't be disappointed. With two locations to serve you, in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, schedule your free implant consultation today for your perfect smile. Just call 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020 or visit VeneriaDental.com. VANARIA, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.